Hello and welcome back to the Avs Hockey Podcast. This is your home for almost everything Avalanche, and I'm your host, Jay Veen. In this show, I'll recap all 8 Avalanche games since my last show. I'll share a few of my thoughts on Olympic hockey. I'll describe how 2 Avs forwards magically turned a penalty kill into a power play. I'll explain why this year's team is already better than last year's team. And did you ever wonder what Avs tough guy David Krejci does with all his spare time on the bench when he's dressed for games? A bunch of people and myself on Twitter wondered the same exact thing. I'll explain here in a little bit. All those topics and much, much more coming up in episode number 49 of the Avs Hockey Podcast. Stick around, I'll be right back. Hello, Avalanche fans, and welcome back to the Avs Hockey Podcast. This is your home for almost everything Avalanche. I'm your host, Jay Veen. Thank you so much for joining me. Exciting time of year for us hockey heads out there. The gold medal game coming up today. I'll talk a little bit about that coming up here in a little while. Like I said, my name's Jay Veen. I appreciate you guys joining me. Those of you that are with me episode in, episode out, thank you very much. I appreciate that time. And for those of you that are trying me out fairly new, thanks for trying me out too. And I think if you're a true Avalanche hockey fan, I think you'll like what you hear. All right, this is episode number 49 of the show, so naturally we're going to go to jersey number 49s. And there was only one player to wear jersey number 49 for the Avalanche in their entire history, and that's Serge Aubin. He had 2 terms with the Avalanche organization, and during those 82 games that he played with the Avalanche, he had 3 jersey numbers, 44, 49, and 10. Like I said, 82 games played, 6 goals, 7 assists. He played 22 playoff games for the Avalanche, including 17 games in the 99-2000 season. The big, I believe that season ended with a loss to the Stars. Anyways, in the playoffs, 22 games played overall for the Avalanche, had 1 assist in those 22 games. So there you go, jersey number 49s for the Avalanche in their history. AvalancheDB.com, thank you very much for everything you do and for keeping me up to date so I can have some fun with the show. All right, let's get into the games since my last show, and there were 8 of them, and then I think later in the second segment I'll share my thoughts on Olympic hockey because that's what's really going on right now. I left off on game number 54 on Sunday, January 31st. The Avalanche played the Rangers at Pepsi Center and lost this one 3-1. This was the Marian Gaborik show for the Rangers. He had a goal in each period to record his 10th career hat trick, his 31st, 32nd, and 33rd goals of the season. He was obviously a beast. The only Avalanche goal was scored in the third period by Cody McLeod, his 6th of the season from Kyle Quincy and Justin Mercier. Cody McLeod also stung Aaron Voros with a big right hand during a first period fight. The Jumbotron replayed this about 3 or 4 times. Voros had a nice cut over his, I believe it was his left eye, and he had to go get some repairs in between the first and second periods. But that was one of the highlights of the game. The Avalanche just couldn't really get it going. Chad Johnson, not Chad Ochocinco, he plays football. Chad Johnson, the goaltender for the Rangers, had 34 saves on 35 shots, and Craig Anderson for the Avalanche, 31 saves on 34 Rangers shots. Marian Gaborik, like I said, for the Rangers, 3 goals on 6 shots. Vinny Prospel for the Rangers, 2 assists and 5 shots. Chris Higgins, 5 shots for the Rangers. And Wojtek Wolski for the Avalanche, 5 shots. Chris Stewart, 8 shots. And Cody McLeod, a goal and 3 shots for the Avalanche. The Avalanche honored defenseman Curtis Lechisian in a pregame ceremony. The second to last. No, Mike Ricci night was after this. But anyways, very cool to see him out on the ice. He's in great shape still. I guess he rides about 50 miles a day on his bicycle. He's not playing around. So game 54 for the Avalanche, Sunday, January 31st against the New York Rangers. They lose this one at Pepsi Center, 3-1. All right, game 55 for the Avalanche this season, Tuesday, February 2nd against the Columbus Blue Jackets. They win this one 5-1. In the first period, Antoine Vermette scored his 18th goal of the season, a shorthander, and Avalanche fans are saying, here we go again, because they had struggled the game before the Rangers, and then they struggled the Rangers game, and we thought it was going to be the same old story. But after that, the Avalanche basically take over the game. Kyle Quincy, his 5th from Paul Stastny at 18:31 of the first period to tie it up. In the second period, Brandon Yip scored his 7th of the season from Kyle Komiski and TJ Gagliardi at 4:33. In the third period, Brandon Yip scored his 8th of the season, his 2nd of the game from TJ Gagliardi and Matt Duchene at 41 seconds. And then the Ryan O'Reilly, TJ Gagliardi shorthanded scoring chance parade scored started, after Paul Stastny took a four-minute high-sticking penalty at 7:05. And this is what I referred to in the intro, where the Avalanche took a penalty kill and made it into a power play. Ryan O'Reilly at 7:14 scored his sixth of the year, shorthanded from TJ Gagliardi. And then a few minutes later, Ryan O'Reilly scored his seventh of the year on another shorthander, his second of the period at 10:29 from TJ Gagliardi. And just some outstanding work by the youngsters. No more 18-year-olds left on the Avalanche now. They're all 19. Ryan O'Reilly, I believe, was the last 18-year-old in the team, he and Matt Duchene. But the kids are growing up. It's good to see him play that hard. And TJ Gagliardi has been outstanding this season on the offensive end, on the penalty kill end, everywhere. He's been a nice, not necessarily a surprise. I think we knew he was going to be all right. But he's one of the reasons why the Avalanche have gone where they've gone this season. So great work by Ryan O'Reilly and TJ Gagliardi turning a penalty kill into a power play for our favorite NHL team. I got goalies. Matthew Garon stopped 21 of 26 Avalanche shots, and Craig Anderson 20 saves on 21 Blue Jacket shots. The Avalanche break a three-game losing streak, easy for me to say, and that was good news to get them off a little bit of a slide they were having there. Rafi Torres, Derek Brassard, and Jakub Voracek for the Blue Jackets, all minus four. Ouch. Kyle Quincy for the Avalanche, a goal and six shots. Ryan O'Reilly, two shorthanded goals on five shots. TJ Gagliardi had four assists, a career high for points for him. And Brandon Yip had a couple of goals for the Avalanche in the winning effort. Game number 55, Tuesday, February 2nd against the Blue Jackets. The Avalanche win this one at Pepsi Center, 5-1. All right, game number 56 for the Avalanche, Thursday, February 4th at Nashville against the Predators, and the Avalanche lose this one 5-3. In the first period, Cody McLeod starts the scoring on a beautiful 2-on-1 at 16:39. It was his seventh goal of the year from Chris Stewart, and Ryan Wilson gives the Avalanche a 1-0 lead. In the second period, the Nashville Predators come on back really quickly. 6:46, Patrick Hornqvist scores his 22nd of the year on the power play to tie the game at 1. A minute three later, at 7:49, Joel Ward scores his 10th of the season to give the Predators a 2-1 lead. At 13:59, the Avalanche battle back. Matt Duchene, a power play goal, his 18th of the year from Kyle Komisky and John Michael Lyles to tie it up at 2. And then 23 seconds later, at 14:22, Avalanche killer Jason Arnott scores his 14th of the year to give the Predators a 3-2 lead. At 19:19, it's Patrick Hornqvist again, his second of the period, his 23rd of the year to give the Predators a 4-2 lead. The Avalanche begin the second period with a 1-0 lead and then go into the third period down 4-2. That's not going to work. At 10:31 of the third period, Stevie Sullivan scores his 11th of the year on the power play. And then at 18:42, congratulations, one of the bright spots for this game, his first NHL goal, Justin Mercier from Chris Durno at 18:42. And the Avalanche lose this one 5-3. Pekka Rinne for the Preds, 23 saves on 26 shots. Craig Anderson for the Avalanche, 31 saves on 36 shots and three power play goals against. That's not going to work either. Paul Stastny and Wojciech Wolski both with four shots for the Avalanche, and Matt Duchene a goal and four shots as well. Shea Weber, the beast, the Canadian beast, for anybody that saw his shot that went through the net against Germany the other night, unbelievable. I know there's some give to those Olympic nets. It looks like the international rules as far as how much the nets need to shake when the puck goes in is one thing, but Shea Weber goes through the net without breaking any of the twine. Unbelievable. Anyways, two assists, five shots for him. Jason Arnott, a goal, three assists and four shots. Steve Sullivan, a goal, assist, and three shots. And Patrick Hornqvist, two power play goals? It was two power play goals, yeah, an assist and four shots. This is one building I can't stand to watch the Avalanche lose in. Nothing against Nashville fans, because I know they're for their team, but it's just annoying to watch them on TV. I can't imagine how it must be when you're there. But they're into it, and they're there, so you can't blame them for that. And Jason Arnott, I believe he's one of the biggest Avalanche killers, if not the biggest Avalanche killer of all time. He's right up there with Manny Legacy. Let's see who else. Rene Bork is another one. Anyways, he tears up the Avalanche if he's wearing a Predators, a Stars, a Oilers, or a Devils jersey. And like I said, he's been tearing up the Avalanche for a long, long time. And Thursday, February 4th in Nashville, the Avalanche lose 5-3, and that was no different for him. All right, game number 57 for the Avalanche, Saturday, February 6th against the Edmonton Oilers, and the Avalanche win this one 3-0. Scoring didn't start till the second period at 9:33. Wojtek Wolski, his 17th from Matt Duchene and Scott Hannon. And then in the third period at 17:06, Ryan Wilson scores his third of the year from Adam Foote. And then at 19:30, Brandon Yip scored his ninth of the season, an empty netter from Adam Foote as well. Jeff DeLaurier, 39 saves on 41 shots from the Avalanche. He has that Dominik Hasek pick up the puck with his blocker hand after he drops a stick down. He's got that down for sure. He must be working out with Dominik Hasek between games. Craig Anderson, 20 saves for his sixth shutout of the season. Ethan Moreau for the Oilers, 5 shots. Mike Comrie for the Oilers, 4 shots. And for our Avalanche, Wojtek Wolski, a goal on one shot. No, they must have had more shots than that. I got it wrong. He had a goal. TJ Gagliardi, Marek Svatos, 4 shots apiece. Brandon Yip, a goal on 5 shots, and Adam Foote, 2 assists for the Avs. And these were points number 69 and 70 for the Avalanche this season. They had 69 all last season. Not bad for the 57th game of the year. Congratulations to the Avalanche. They are already better than last year on February 6th than they were all of last season. So that's why we're having a little bit more fun as Avalanche fans this year. All right, I'll come right back at you. I'll give you the four other games that happened since my last show. I've got Olympic hockey thoughts. I'll tell you what David Krejci does during a game with all his free time and a whole lot more. So stick around. Thanks again for your time, and I'll be right back. All right, Avalanche fans, welcome back to episode number 49 of the Avs Hockey Podcast. Your home for lots of stuff, Avalanche. I'm your host, Jay Veen. This is the Serge Aubin edition of the show, jersey number 49, the only jersey number 49 for the Avalanche in their history. All right, let's get back to the action. Game number 58, Monday, February 8th, against the St. Louis Blues at Pepsi Center. The Avalanche win this one 5-2. In the first period, Eric Brewer begins the scoring for the Blues, his sixth of the season at 3:34. And then 28 seconds later, the Avalanche battle back at 4:02. TJ Gagliardi, his ninth from Chris Stewart and Kyle Quincy. And then the Blues battle back. 7:59, Eric Johnson scores his fifth of the season. And then the Avalanche battle back. That's funny. 16:42, Brandon Yip on the power play, his 10th of the season from Kyle Komiski and Paul Stastny. We go into the second period, tied 2-2. In the second period, the Avalanche take over the game. 2:25, Chris Stewart, his 18th from Ryan Wilson and Darcy Tucker. 3:57, Paul Stastny, his 12th from Marek Svatos and Chris Stewart. A great pass by Marek Svatos. How often do you get to say that? Beautiful backhanded goal by Paul Stastny, too, getting geared up for the Olympics. And then at 6:34, Brandon Yip, his 11th, his second of the game from Wojtek Wolski and Matt Duchene. The Avalanche take a 4-2 lead. And then, let's see. No, that was 5-2. That was 3 goals. I'm a math major. Can't you tell? The Avalanche lost enforcer David Krejci early in the first period after breaking his hand in a fight with DJ King. So that's a little bit of a loss. I guess he's nice to have around. He's really nice to have around. I'll talk about that at the end of the second segment about what David Krejci does during a game with all his spare time. Back to the action here. Chris Mason, 10 goals, 10 saves on 15 shots. He was pulled after the Avalanche's fifth goal, just totally off that night. Although, you know, he's played pretty well against the Avalanche throughout his years with the Preds and the Blues, but not on February 8th. Ty Conklin came in after that for the Blues and made 18 saves. All 18 shots that he saw from the Avalanche were saved by him, so good for him. And Craig Anderson, 32 saves on 34 Blues shots. Eric Johnson for the Blues, a goal and 3 shots. Paul Kariya, 5 shots. Andy McDonald, 4 shots. And Alex Steen for the Blues, an assist and 5 shots. Chris Stewart for the Avalanche, a goal, 2 assists, and 5 shots. Paul Stastny, a goal, assist, and 7 shots. And Brandon Yip, 2 goals and 5 shots. So Monday, February 8th, the Avalanche beat the Blues at Pepsi Center 5-2. All right, let's go to game 59, Wednesday, February 10th, against the Atlanta Thrashers. The Avalanche win this one 4-3. Outstanding game. This was so much fun. I was there, and I was glad I was there, and I'm glad I didn't blink in overtime. Let's start at the beginning, though. In the first period at 8:45, Nicklas Bergfors, his 15th of the season. Newly acquired Bergfors. I know a lot of people wanted to see Ilya Kovalchuk. I wanted to see him too, but he had been traded by that point, so kind of a small crowd. Anyways, the Thrashers go up 1-0. Brett Clark answers 55 seconds later at 9:40. He scores his third of the season from Paul Stastny and Chris Stewart. A nice shot. I think he was actually trying to pass this, but it ended up in the net. We'll take it. And like I said, that was from Paul Stastny and Chris Stewart, tied the game at 1. In the second period at 5:32, Brian Little scores scored his 10th of the year for the Thrashers to give them a 2-1 lead. In the third period, Big Horse Nick Antropov scored his 14th of the year at 4:19 to give the Thrashers a 3-1 lead. We thought it was over then, but nah, not this year's team. Chris Stewart scores his 19th at 8:34 from Paul Stastny and T.J. Gagliardi to get the Avalanche within one. And then Chris Durno at 14:31 scores one of the goals of the year until a few minutes later from Cody McLeod and Kyle Quincy. Sorry, got ahead of myself there. Chris Durno, an outstanding effort. He laid out for this one. I don't believe his skates were on the ice when he scored this one. He laid out for it and shot it in. Cody McLeod's reaction was absolutely outstanding. They had both actually dove for the puck, and McLeod kind of got up and looked around and said, "I know I didn't touch that, but who did?" And he finally was able to grab Chris Durno, and he smacked him on the butt with a stick. Some good energy from the Avalanche youngsters, and that's what we love. And then in overtime, don't blink, don't get up out of your seat, but Kyle Komiski scores his 7th of the year from Paul Stastny at 9 seconds of overtime. This was the fastest overtime game-winning goal in Avalanche history. This was beating goals by Santa Sozalinch and Milan Hayduk in the past by 10 seconds apiece. And the Avalanche win this one 4-3. An outstanding effort and a great comeback for the Avalanche in this one. Johan Hedberg for the Thrashers, 31 saves and 35 shots. I still have not forgiven Johan Hedberg for the douchebag stuff he was doing during the Steve Moore game in Vancouver. He wanted David Abisher to fight with him. But it was whatever. Hockey karma for you, Johan Hedberg. And Craig Anderson, 33 saves on 36 shots. Brian Little for the Thrashers, a goal and assist. Nicholas Bergfors with a goal and assist as well. And Nick Antropov, a goal and assist as well, but also six shots. Chris Stewart for the Avalanche, a goal assist and six shots. Brett Clark, a goal and was plus three. And Kyle Quincy had an assist and was also a plus three. And Paul Stastny with the playmaker in this one, three assists. A great game for those people that might have left because they thought the game was over when Nick Antropov scored in the third. You were very, very wrong. Wednesday, February 10th, the Avalanche beat the Thrashers at Pepsi Center 4-3. All right, a couple more games for you. Game number 60, Friday, February 12th, against the Coyotes at the Pepsi Center. And it was the Matt Duchene show. The Avalanche win this one 2-1. In the first period, Matt Duchene, a power play goal, his 19th goal of the season from Chris Stewart and Kyle Quincy at 7:58. In the second period, Martin Hanzel scored his 8th of the season at 4:24 the second period, and the Avalanche were outshot 12-3. It was kind of a slow game for the Avs, but they were able to hold on. And then in the third period, we're happy they were able to hold on because Matt Duchene scored his 20th of the year, his 2nd of the game from Brett Clark and Ryan Wilson, and great tip-in at 15:27. The Avalanche win this one 2-1. Ilya Briskalov, 23 saves on 25 shots, and Craig Anderson, 33 saves on 34 shots. Martin Hanzel had a goal, six shots, and 15 penalty minutes after a boarding penalty on Kyle Komiski that gave him a concussion that had him miss the next night, so that wasn't very nice. And Shane Doan, an assist and eight shots, probably mad that he wasn't named to the Canadian Olympic team either. Matt Duchene, two goals, like I said, for the Avalanche, and Cody McLeod, four shots. So Friday, February 12th, the Avalanche beat the Coyotes at Pepsi Center 2-1. And then game number 61, the very next night, Saturday, February 13th at the LA Kings, and the Avalanche start their Olympic break early with this one. One of the few times I can actually agree with Adrian Dater from the Denver Post. He said they had taken the night off, and they actually did. They just looked totally off. Former Avalanche player Brad Richardson scored his 8th of the year at 11:19 of the second period. Andrei Kopitar, his 28th of the season on the power play at 3:48 of the third period. And then at 7:02 of the third period, Oscar Moeller scored his 4th of the season. Those are your three goals for the Kings. Craig Anderson, 20 goals on 23 shots. And Jonathan Quick, 22 saves to get ready for the Olympics, although he never played. So those of you that were, you know, a little worried that Craig Anderson didn't make the U.S. team, he wouldn't have played either. So based on what's gone on so far, I guess a good move. Good for Craig Anderson to kind of stay at home, relax, and get rested up for the playoff push. Ruslan Soleil back in action for the Avalanche, had five shots and probably the best scoring chance of the night. Jonathan Quick looked great that night, obviously. Jack Johnson for the Kings, two assists. Andrei Kopitar, a goal and five shots. Brad Richardson, a goal and four shots. And Rich Klune for the Kings, two assists. All right, there's your eight games since my last show. I'll be right back with all kinds of news and notes. I'll let you know who's healthy, who's not healthy, who's coming up and down from Lake Erie. I'll let you know what, I'll give you a little Avalanche, some Olympic hockey thoughts. I'll also give you some standings updates. I got all kinds of stuff for you, including what David Cochy does during the game. All right, stick around. Thanks again for your time. I'll be right back. All right, Avalanche fans, welcome back to episode number 49 of the Avs Hockey Podcast. This is your home for almost everything Avalanche. I'm your host, Jay Veen. Thank you so much again for your time. I definitely appreciate it. This is the Serge Albin edition of the show. 82 games in an Avalanche uniform. His largest season was in 99-2000. You may not remember him, but a lot of people don't. But he's the only guy to ever wear jersey number 49 for the Avalanche in their history. All right, it's time for the second full segment, news and notes. And here you go. Since my last show, January 30th, the Avalanche honored defenseman Curtis Lecision prior to the game against the Rangers. There's only one other Avalanche alumni night, which is kind of a cool tradition the Avalanche have started. Hopefully they continue to do this because it's definitely been fun to see a lot of the old faces and see all the old highlights. But Valer Kamensky will be honored before tomorrow night's game against the Red Wings at Pepsi Center, and that'll be the end of the alumni nights. And like I said, hopefully they're able to I don't know if they'll have 10 people per season from now on, but it'll be cool to see who they decide to honor and put into the Avalanche alumni clubby dealy. All right. February 1st, Milan Hajduk skated by himself before practice for the first time since he underwent arthroscopic surgery on his knee. He'll be back tomorrow against the Red Wings. Matt Hendricks will be back tomorrow against the Red Wings. Who else? Kyle Kaminsky will be back against the Red Wings, and also Adam Foote, who left with a back injury in the game before the break. He wasn't available during the Kings, so it was the game before that. But anyways, actually, that was against the Coyotes. But those four will be back against the Red Wings tomorrow. Hajduk, Kaminsky, Foote, and Hendricks. So it's good to see the Avalanche get healthy over the break. All right, February 6th, the Avalanche honored forward Mike Ricci before the game against the Edmonton Oilers. And like I said, the last alumni night tomorrow night against the Red Wings at Pepsi Center. That'll be Valer Kamensky. That Kamensky-Lemieux-Forsberg line, are you kidding me? In 96, they were sickness. Anyways, February 8th, Avalanche defenseman Ruslan Soleil officially listed as a healthy scratch. That gave the Avalanche eight healthy defensemen. And somebody's got to move, I believe, not during the break because there's a trading freeze, but pretty soon the trading deadline's coming up. There's going to be a lot happening in the NHL. Eight healthy defensemen. Somebody's obviously got to go. We'll see who's willing to take some people and who's willing to give some people, and we'll talk about that next show. I don't like to speculate too much. We'll just break it down after all that stuff happens. Also on February 8th, Avalanche enforcer David Krejci broke his right hand against the Blues, and he'll be out a few weeks more probably. I don't know. I haven't heard a whole lot on what his timetable is to return, but we will see about that. On February 9th, the Avalanche recalled right winger Darren Haydar from the Lake Erie Monsters in the American Hockey League. On February 10th, Ryan O'Reilly returned to the Avalanche lineup after missing February 8th's game against the Blues with a bruised foot. He had a little hitch in his step as well during that game, but the game after that, he looked a little bit better. So good to see him get healthy as well. On February 12th, the Avalanche reassigned left winger Justin Mercier and right winger Darren Haydar to Lake Erie in the American Hockey League. On February 13th, Avalanche defenseman Ruslan Soleil played in his first game since the season opener 59 games ago against the Kings. So good to see him back. Played for Belarus in the Olympics and was the captain of that particular team. I believe he's the only NHL player on that team. Maybe I'm just making stuff up there. I heard that somewhere, so it must be true, right? But good to see him back and healthy, and he represented the Avalanche well in the Olympics. Avalanche defenseman on the 13th as well. John Michael Lyles returned to the Avalanche lineup after being a healthy scratch for the past four games as well. So the most expensive healthy scratch in the league at a little over $4 million, at least for this season. That's what he's making every year. So too bad he's got to be a healthy scratch, but somebody has to be. And Ryan Wilson has really thrown a wrench into the Avalanche defensive plans for as well as he has played. So good for Ryan Wilson and not so great for John Michael Lyles. We'll see what happens with that. On February 26th, left winger Ryan Stoa was reassigned to Lake Erie. His shoulder is obviously healed, and he's ready to go again, so that's good news. And here, turning the page. I'm going to find my standings. Here's your Avalanche standings. As of right now, they are 35-20-6, 76 points. That's good for second place in the Northwest Division. They're tied for points with Vancouver, but Vancouver has a couple more wins, so that gives them a tiebreaker. The Avalanche are sixth place in the Western Conference, 5 points ahead of the seventh place team, which is the Nashville Predators. They are eighth in the entire league right now, right next to defending Stanley Cup champion, the Pittsburgh Penguins. So for those of you that think the Avalanche have struggled lately or whatever, If you're right next to the defending Stanley Cup champions, especially as good as the Pens are, you're having a great season. So keep up the good work, Avalanche. All right, a few random things. I listen to talk radio every once in a while around here in Denver. I live near Denver, and they never talk hockey, and I'm trying to decide whether that's a good or a bad thing. Always Broncos Nuggets. They'll even talk Rockies right now, which is, I know they're going back to spring training, but you've got a team who's fighting for a division lead, who was supposed to be absolutely terrible at the beginning of the year, has been a really good feel-good story, but nobody talks about them. So I'm trying to decide whether that's a good or a bad thing as far as people just, there's not a lot of hockey fans, so I guess that's one thing. But the other thing, this team deserves some attention, but a lot of people just, I don't know, a lot of people just don't get the game. And so, like I said, I keep going back and forth on whether it's a good or a bad thing. But talk radio and the Avalanche here have never gotten along. And I don't know. We'll just have to kind of see on that one. But, I mean, people will talk Broncos all year if you let them. And it's just a Bronco town. I guess it'll always be that way no matter how many cups the Avalanche win. But that's just my talk radio little side note there. Let's see what else. Olympics. Let's talk Olympics just for a second. The Olympic point system, I love. 3 points for a regulation win, 2 points for an overtime win, and then a team also gets a point if they make it into overtime or the shootout, and then they lose. But the thing that I like about it is regulation wins are worth 2 more points than a loss at any time. So you got teams really working hard to try and earn points during regulation rather than kind of playing for a shootout and kind of crossing your fingers from there. So you can either go 3 points for a regulation win and 1 point for a, let's see, overtime. What I'm thinking is that they need to start to spread out the point system to where you get more points for winning and maybe 0 points for losing, maybe 2 points for a win overall and then no points for a loss. But the 1 point system where there's the magical point that appears when the teams go into the shootout, it makes everything way too close together. It makes those teams that are pretty decent in the shootout gives them a little bit of an advantage with this, which I don't think should really factor into who makes the playoffs and who doesn't. But those are my thoughts. I really wouldn't mind if the NHL decided to move into that type of point system where there's 2 points between whoever wins and whoever loses. Sure, the standings will get a little more stretched out, but the parity is just, it's exciting in a way, but it's also disappointing in that, you know, no matter what happens, everybody's always close together. And I think if the team has earned it and you should be behind the standings, you know, that's where you belong. So that's my thoughts on that. Otherwise, Olympic hockey has been unbelievable. It's been a lot of fun to watch. The Americans have kind of shocked people. The U.S.-Canada game in the round robin was unbelievable. Very much looking forward to the gold medal game today and see what happens. But, you know, obviously I'm rooting for the U.S. because I am, you know, from the U.S. But it's just been good for the game, I think, especially in North America, and get some people excited. I don't know whether that excitement will stick through the NHL season, but Gary Bettman, you know, has got to be excited about this. I don't know. I saw him the other day and looked very excited about anything because they're worried about pro players in the next Olympics and whatever. But it's been a lot of fun to watch, and hopefully this is good. This is going to be good for the game in the end. And also, let me click on something here, but sorry, I'm navigating through my thing. Do you ever wonder what David Krejci does during a game? You know, he dresses for the game. He plays 2.5-3 minutes, and for the rest of the time, he's just kind of hanging out there. Yeah, a bunch of us did too. And my friend James Tapley-Grelian from the Rink Podcast, rinkpodcast.com, came up with a hashtag. For those of you that are into Twitter, you know, I'm just going to talk Twitter language. If you have any questions, let me know. But the hashtag is what Krejci does during the game. And so he started that, and then everybody started to join in, and there are some seriously funny things in here as far as what we all think David Krejci does during the game while he's just kind of hanging out, because you got 60 minutes of action and he plays 2.5 in them, so he's got to fill his time with something. So there are just some great ones. Cooks bacon and eggs for the team and then follows it up with a cup check on everyone on the way to the ice. That was from MUNPEQ Munpeck on Twitter. Awesome stuff. Let's see what else. During the United States butt whooping of Finland the other day when they had 6 goals in the first 10 minutes, my buddy James Tapley-Grelian said David Krejci scores on Kiprusoff. That's what Krejci does. All kinds of stuff. Mine during that game was wishes that he played in way more 6-0 games so he could have a regular shift. That's what David Krejci does during the game. So if you are a member on Twitter, just put in the hashtag what Krejci does during the game, and you're gonna find. Let's see, how many are there here? There are oh man, it doesn't tell me how many are in this search. There's a lot. And it's just something that we bring up every once in a while. And it's just, there are some really, really good, there's some really good stuff in here. So check it out, what David Cochi does during the game. All right, that's it for the second segment. I'll be right back with upcoming games and where you can find me and a bunch of my friends on the old internet. So stick around. Don't go anywhere. We're almost through. I'll be right back. Fans, welcome back to the third and final segment of episode number 49 of the Avs Hockey Podcast. You're home for lots of stuff, Avalanche. I'm your host, Jay Veen. This is the Serge Aubin edition of the show, jersey number 49, episode number 49, and there you go. All right, here's your upcoming games for the Colorado Avalanche. Here's the next 11 games. Monday, March 1st, that'll be tomorrow against the Red Wings. This game is on versus a 7 p.m. start on that game. Valerie Kamensky night in Pepsi Center. Should be fun to see him again. Wednesday, March 3rd at the Anaheim Ducks, an 8 p.m. start time. Thursday, March 4th at the Coyotes, a 7 p.m. start on that game. Saturday, March 6th against the Blues at Pepsi Center. That'll be a 7 p.m. start. Tuesday, March 9th against the Canucks, a 7 p.m. start. Thursday, March 11th against the Panthers at Pepsi Center. That'll be a 7 p.m. Beginning for that game. Sunday, March 14th at the Dallas Stars. That'll be a 1 p.m. afternoon time on that game. Tuesday, March 16th at the St. Louis Blues. The Avalanche will play that game at 6 p.m. in St. Louis. Wednesday, March 17th against the Flames, 7 p.m. puck drops on that one. Sunday, March 21st, the Avalanche play at the Ducks, a 6 p.m. an early West Coast start on that one. And then Monday, March 22nd, the Avalanche play at the Kings, an 8:30 start time on that one as well. So there's your next 11 games for the Colorado Avalanche. Playoff push coming up. I believe they have, let's see, how's my math? They have played, they played 81 games, so they have 21 games left. Should be fun. The schedule's tough. I mean, judging by that list, and then they have another 10 games after that. Should be interesting to see how they do. Not a time to not play your best hockey of the year, so hopefully they can get a little momentum going and keep it going, and maybe even win a division and go deep. You never know. Might as well. Nobody expected this, so hey, why not? All right, here's where you can find me. You found me somewhere. Most likely you found me either on iTunes or from my website, www.avshockeypodcast.com. So go check me out there. On iTunes, I want to thank Avs Hockey for the feedback left on January 27th. For those of you that catch me on iTunes, if you could please just take a minute, leave some feedback, tell me I'm great, tell me I suck, but all the feedback will help people find me on the old internet, especially on iTunes. So check me out on iTunes. Just search for the Avs Hockey Podcast. You can find me on the Avs Hockey Podcast Facebook page. If you're a member on Facebook, just search for Avs Hockey Podcast, and you'll find me. Click the Become a Fan button at the top of the page, and I'll keep you up to date between shows and would love to see you there. We have some decent conversations there as well. You want to talk Avs hockey, want to talk Avalanche jerseys, that's your place to go. The AHP Facebook page. All right, my Twitter account is AVSHKYPODCAST. I couldn't put the entire word in there, hockey, because it's too many characters. So check me out on Twitter, no spaces, AVSHKYPODCAST. You can also email me, avalanchepodcast@comcast.net. I would love to hear from you, and I'll definitely get back to you if you email me. Avalanche.NHL.com, they have a play of the week every week. About Friday afternoon, and then early Monday afternoon, the voting stops for the play of the week. I have a feeling either that actually Chris Durno and Kyle Komiski couldn't both win that. I think Kyle Komiski's got your leader for goal of the year so far with his overtime winner against the Coyotes, but you never know. Could be some bigger goals that mean a little bit more, and keep checking that out. So avalanche.nhl.com, the Avalanche official site, your home for everything Avalanche besides here. Actually, theirs is the home for absolutely everything Avalanche. Well, maybe not. Never mind. Forget it. Avalanchetalk.com blog, Kevin Nash. Great to see him again at the game the other night, and good to catch up with him. He posted his latest post has something to do with the Avalanche youngsters and how well they've done this season. So go check out his blog. We go back a little ways, and it's always good to see him. So support him. That's avalanchetalk.com. And also, like I mentioned before, my good buddy James Tape Leg Grillion, we do some podcasts together when we get a chance when he's in town. Rinkpodcast.com. James Tape Legrelian, he's the man. you know, a lot of what's going on, a lot of what you see right now is because of him and how we've worked together. So definitely appreciate it, and please go support him. He hasn't posted a podcast for a while, but when he does, it's definitely worth the wait. So that's about it. Episode number 49 of the Avs Hockey Podcast is over with. I'll see you probably in a couple weeks, and we'll talk about where the Avalanche are now, and hopefully we'll be talking about some big things. So enjoy the gold medal game for those of you that listen to this right away. Otherwise, we'll talk maybe a little bit more about that. We'll talk about all the trade updates. And like I said, we'll talk about where the Avalanche are then. But, you know, that's about it. So until the next show in a couple weeks, please take care. Let's go, Avs. And I'll see everybody again next time on the Avs Hockey Podcast. See ya.